You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Energy giant Enbridge has proposed the Northern Gateway Pipeline as a way to transport oil from the Alberta tar sands to tankers on the BC coast. The pipeline would expand over 1,100 kilometers and cross the territories of over 50 different First Nations. Most of the First Nations have never signed a treaty, and among them, opposition to the pipeline is growing. One of the First Nations raising concerns is the Wet'suwet'en, whose traditional territory surrounds the town of Smithers in the northwest of the province. 10% of the pipeline would be in their territory. Joining us today is David DeWitt. He is the Natural Resources Manager from the office of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. Hello, David.
Good morning.
Now, what concerns do your community have regarding the impacts of this pipeline?
The concerns we have are stemming around potential impacts to the health and well-being of Wet'suwet'en culture and the health and well-being of non-First Nations communities in our territory.
So what kind of health impacts do you anticipate or are you concerned about?
Well, the proposed Enbridge pipeline will cross 140 kilometers of our territory, and 40 of those kilometers are the pipeline would parallel the headwaters of the Wet'suwet'en or Maurice Bulkley rivers, and these are the headwaters that support the community and the Wet'suwet'en with one of our many food, fish, salmon supplies, and just the impacts from construction alone will have negative impacts on the salmon spawning and rearing areas. And right now, as you know, the Wet'suwet'en have been managing their salmon cycles and fish, and we're conserving our coho stocks. They're declining, but other salmon species are thriving well. So any further impacts to these watersheds will jeopardize our management efforts of our resources.
Well, I can just imagine what construction would do to the water, the clarity of the water, which is what the salmon need. It must be really quite alarming.
It is. It's the impacts to our salmon and water quality are huge. And when our hereditary leaders reviewed the project, they not only considered the pipe in the ground, but what's happening on both ends of the pipe. So we spent some time with First Nation communities in Alberta to see what some of the impacts they're experiencing with tar sands development, and the Fort Chipewyan community has elevated rates of rare cancers, and their food fish are being contaminated and deformed. And this is something that our hereditary chiefs can't condone, a project that's really killing people.
And I guess the other end of the pipeline will be on the coast, and it will increase the tanker traffic up and down the coast, and I guess that's a concern for First Nations living along that coast.
That's exactly right. We have a very long history with trading with our coastal First Nation neighbors for some of their seafood resources, and just the health and well-being of those communities and their vibrant culture and way of life will be jeopardized with oil tanker traffic coming into those waters. We haven't experienced that yet, and that's something that is a concern, and First Nations are really opposed to having oil tankers come into the coastal waters.
Now, the government's reviewing the application for the Enbridge project. What stage is that process at right now?
The Canadian Environmental Assessment Agency and the National Energy Board made a unilateral decision that a joint review panel would review this process. So recently, the terms of reference have been approved despite concerns and recommendations First Nations have made. And recently, there has been the panel members have been identified. And so I guess that's where the government is at. They're ready for this review process, and Enbridge hasn't officially submitted their project application to the state.
Will the review process address the issue of Aboriginal title?
We don't believe that the process is adequate to really address Aboriginal title and rights. This is something that we made clear at the outset, and recommending that the government really strategically engage with First Nations and recognize and respect the right of governance. And there should have been, from our perspective, discussions on the process itself. And those discussions never took place. And so we're really being forced into a regulatory process that doesn't meet First Nations needs.
What has the process of trying to deal with land claims looked like for the Wet'suwet'en up until now?
Well, the Wet'suwet'en spent 14 years in the treaty process, and we recently stepped out of that process because there was not any productive movement, and it was a process, a domestic process that really didn't meet First Nations needs. So the federal and provincial governments don't really have the best track record in being able to address First Nations issues, and I think that's due to the lack of respect and recognition of our right of governance.
Where do you see the fight against the pipeline going from here?
Well, we recently spent some time in Alberta, and we wanted to be open and honest, and we met with several oil companies or potential shippers that would potentially utilize the Enbridge pipeline, and made clear to them that their support for this project would only be condoning the infringements on Wet'suwet'en rights and title. And that's one of the messages we wanted to convey was to industry, but also to government, is we have made recommendations and solutions that would address some of the inadequacies and shortfalls of the regulatory process, but they haven't been addressed to date.
What kind of opposition has there been among the many First Nations whose lands will be affected by this pipeline? Have you been able to work together with people along the length of the pipeline? And
yes, there is a growing unity in opposition to the pipeline. This summer in June, the Wet'suwet'en hosted an All Nations Energy Summit where we had discussions on impacts of the project, infringements to Aboriginal rights and title, and there is growing unity and consolidation between First Nations and standing up to protect their territories, not only for First Nations, but for everybody.
What could people listening do to show solidarity with you and the other First Nations impacted by the pipeline?
We recently released an animation that shows the growing opposition of First Nations on both Wet'suwet'en website and Forest Ethics. And on those websites, you should find a template letter that's addressed to President and CEO of Enbridge, Patrick Daniels, really giving people an opportunity to show opposition. One of our hereditary leaders went to the Enbridge Annual General Meeting this year, and Patrick Daniels made a comment that Enbridge would not pursue a project that was opposed by the community. So we really do need the public to be voicing their position on this this project that will only increase climate change and greenhouse gas.
So pressure on Enbridge is really the way to go in your mind?
I believe so.
Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
You're welcome.
I've been speaking with David DeWitt. He's the Natural Resources Manager for the Office of the Wet'suwet'en First Nation. If you want to get more information from the Wet'suwet'en on the Enbridge pipeline, you can go to their website, which is wet'suwet'en.com, and I'm going to spell that for you. It's WetSuwet'en, and that's wet'suwet'en.com.